In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 100, the Third Commandment. Remember thou, keep holy the Lord's Day. The image has a, call it a diagram, a drawing of the movable feast and the chief fixed holy days of the Church. And of course, every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. And then we have six added days to those Sundays. And those are marked with the little cross and arrow pointing to them. The caption reads, in these tables, the holy days of obligation, which do not necessarily fall on a Sunday, are marked by crosses. They are to be observed exactly as the Sunday by hearing Mass, abstaining from unnecessary servile work, and doing other pious exercises. The other feasts, which do not fall on a Sunday, are not of obligation. They are, however, important feasts, and all who can should at least hear Mass on those days. If we can visit human friends on days important to them, why not God? What are we commanded by the third commandment? By the third commandment, we are commanded to worship in a special manner on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Quote, keep you my Sabbath, for it is holy unto you. He that shall profane it shall be put to death. He that shall do any work in it, his soul shall perish out of the midst of his people. 6 days shall you do work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath, the rest holy to the Lord. From Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 and 15. God commandeth the observance of a definite day in order that man may devote one day a week to the special worship of his Creator. Natural law obliges man to adore and thank God for his continuous blessings. If God gives us 6 days to work for ourselves, we ought to be glad to devote one day to him exclusively. The day enables us to join in public worship and receive religious instruction. The rest benefits both body and soul. If we had to work always 7 days a week, year in and year out, health would break under the strain. In the Old Law, the celebration of a definite day, the Sabbath, had been ordered only specially for the Jews, just as circumcision and bloody sacrifices had been. The Old Law was abrogated upon institution of the New. From Acts chapter 10, verse 15, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, and Galatians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. In the Old Law, the Jews kept holy the seventh day of the week, Saturday. It was their day of rest. The vital principle of the third commandment was not the specific day, but that one day out of seven should be devoted to the worship of God the Creator. Why does the Church command us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day? The Church commands us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day because on Sunday Christ rose from the dead, and on Sunday the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. In the New Law, Christ delegated his authority to the Church, his living voice. It remained then for the Church to indicate the ceremonial day to be kept holy. The Church of the time of the apostles observed the first day of the week, Sunday, in honor of the resurrection and Pentecost, which both took place on a Sunday. In the same way, the early Church caused circumcision and bloody sacrifices to make way for baptism and the sacrifice of the Mass. In the new law, Catholics keep holy the first day of the week, Sunday. It is called the Lord's Day. St. Paul refers twice to its observance in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. How does the Church command us to worship God on Sunday? The Church commands us to worship God on Sunday by assisting at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The obligation of Mass is binding on all persons who have attained the use of reason, that is, including children 7 years old. Those who find it impossible or very difficult to hear Mass are excused. The sick, the very aged and infirm, and those engaged in works of necessity at the hour of Mass are excused from attending it. Those who live too far to walk and have no conveyance are also excused. Very bad weather may be sufficient excuse. Not to hear Sunday Mass or to miss a notable part of Sunday Mass is a mortal sin. To come a little late and not make up for it in another Mass is a venial sin. The precept is to hear an entire Mass from the beginning to end, that is, from the priest's entrance into the sanctuary till his departure into the sanctuary. One is considered to have missed Mass if one arrives too late to be present at the offertory when the priest uncovers the chalice, or leaves before the communion is finished. The principal parts, that is, the offertory, the consecration, and the communion, must be heard in one and the same Mass. Those who on every slight pretext excuse themselves from their obligation of hearing Sunday Mass will gradually slip into religious carelessness and indifference. We should be sturdy Christians and not let anything but impossibility or serious illness interfere with our hearing Mass on Sunday. Not to have a new or clean dress is not sufficient reason for staying away from Sunday Mass. Neither is an excursion that leaves early a reason. One should go to Mass before going on the excursion. Mass is not our only obligation on Sunday, for God commands us to sanctify the whole day and not only a part of it. We should perform other good works. We may hear sermons or instruction, receive the sacraments, attend Vespers or benediction, read the Bible or other spiritual books, say the rosary, attend a sodality or confraternity meeting, visit the Blessed Sacrament, the poor, the sick, and perform other works of mercy. It is not an obligation to spend the entire Sunday in such works, but we should try to give as much time to them as we can for the love of God. If we do things not required for the love of our friends on earth, how much more eager we should be to do them for our best friend of all, God. How should we hear Mass? We should hear Mass with attention and devotion. We should be in church a few minutes before the beginning of Mass to prepare for it and not leave before the priest leaves. If we arrive after the beginning of Mass, but before the uncovering of the chalice for the offertory, we should make up for our lateness by attending the next Mass, at least up to the uncovering of the chalice. If we arrive when the chalice is already uncovered, we must hear another entire Mass. Not only must we be bodily present at the Mass, we must also have at least an implicit intention of participating, avoiding deliberate distractions, and not look around, laugh, or carry on conversations. It is a serious lack of reverence for the Word of God to leave the church during the sermon. Most persons find it easiest to follow the Mass by reading a prayer book. Others use a missal following the actions of the priest. This last is the best way of participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, for then we can best share in Christ's sacrifice, uniting our intentions to His offering ourselves with him to the Heavenly Father. It is an honor to be permitted to assist in some way at Holy Mass. Today, laymen are allowed to perform services that were previously reserved to those in orders, such as serving at Mass, etc. In many parishes, there are altar boys societies. Then all boys should try to become members. We should be generous with our offerings for the collection box. Even children should be trained to put in a few cents out of their pocket money. We must remember our obligation to help support our pastors. That completes the reading of this lesson. Do we have any questions or comments? All right. I don't really know where to begin, but the table of the movable feast and the chief fixed holy days, I think, is good for us all to peruse. And I'm really kind of shocked that so many lay people don't know how to use a missal or don't know where to find their Mass in their missal. And I think if we would only take a little time and look through it, we could see it. Father Anthony wrote a while back an article for the Seraph on the movable feast on the calendar and the fixed feast on the calendar. It's not really that difficult. Most of the movable feasts are based off of Easter, and Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox. So in spring, when the night and day are equal, the equinox, we find the first full moon after that, and the following Sunday is Easter. And from Easter, we can work back on the calendar to find out when Ash Wednesday is, and we can look forward to see when the Ascension, Pentecost, and the Sundays after Pentecost are going to follow. The fixed holidays or holy days are fairly simple because we just look at the month and the date and we can find them. And I think many people have daily missals, but the daily missals are not picked up daily. And you say, but I don't go to Mass every day, but you can still use your daily missal every day. And it is really, I think, a treasure trove of Catholic devotion and prayers. And even if you're not assisting at Mass, to at least read the Mass prayers and get an idea and join, at least in spirit, with the Mass being offered, I think is very important. And obviously this lesson was written when you could attend Masses would be going on all day Sunday, and so you could attend a really early one or a really late one. There were many priests in each parish, and so there were several Masses offered throughout the day to which one could assist at. And of course, it's not just the assistance at Mass on Sunday, but doing something to make the entire Sunday holy. And I think really to set aside that day as a special day is very important. And I think we need to perhaps look back at the past and realize that Sunday actually begins on Saturday evening with Vespers. And in the olden days, Saturday evening was a time of preparation. So that was the time to get your weekly bath in, to get cleaned up for Sunday morning. That was the time to make sure your clothes were clean and pressed and out and ready to go. Get all of that done on Saturday evening so that Sunday morning there is no reason for you to be delayed, and everything is ready to go and there is less difficulty, less problems. But I think too often we've pushed everything off until the last minute. It's time for Mass, and now we have to start getting ready when it is already too late. We should have been prepared long before. And also, traditionally, Saturday evening was the time to go to confession, not run into Mass and say, oh, can we delay Mass so that I can go to confession? I think it is really more the exception, that it's become pretty common in our day that we come to confession on Sunday morning before Mass, because the priests have been very accommodating to us in that manner, especially since there are fewer Masses and fewer priests, the times are limited. But I think it is worthwhile for us to try to at least keep that goal in mind, or that ideal in mind. I mentioned, I think it was in my sermon here in Rochester yesterday, that the goal is always held out there before us, even though we may be incapable of living up to that goal. The goal, the Holy Ghost has set out these goals. The Church has set up these goals for us to attain. And I look at, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, when he was composing his rule, he went to the Pope and the Cardinals all suggested that, you know, his rule was too severe. But the Pope says, I can't refuse him, because what he's asking to do is to live according to the gospel. And that's what we're preaching. That's what Christ said to do. So they had to give St. Francis the approval for his rule. But in the Franciscan community, we suggest that there are two kinds of Franciscans. There's St. Francis and the rest of us. And the rest of us, we find all kinds of exceptions and excuses not to follow the rule that St. Francis, or to not follow it to the strictness that St. Francis of Assisi laid out for us. But it is better that we have that goal, have that rule to constantly strive for, to reach higher. And rather than lose sight of that goal and to lessen the rule or the regulations or the ideal, if you will, it is better that we fall short of that ideal and be humbled because we have fallen short. And so in our day, we don't have as many Masses available to us. We don't have the opportunity. And I suggest that we should treasure the Mass even more so than they had in the past. And I think perhaps the reason the Mass has been lost in so many places throughout the world and from so many people is that because it was so easy, so available, we took it for granted. You know, if I don't make the 8 o'clock Mass, I can go to the 10 o'clock Mass. And if I don't make that one, I can show up at the noon Mass or the 11 o'clock Mass. There's always another opportunity. And I think we grew indifferent to the importance of the Mass. And I think no one cared. Nobody was really interested. And so the Mass was taken away. And now they have a memorial meal in line with Protestantism, rather than the sacrifice of the Mass. And I think in our day, even if we cannot physically attend the Mass, we should have our prayer books there, and at least on Sundays to read the Mass prayers, to read the commentary, to set aside some part of Sunday to think of God, to pray, and to practice our spiritual devotions. Or any no other questions or comments, we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.